Today is Friday, June the 17th, and you're listening to the Grains Matter Chatter podcast presented by Northcore Grains. I'm your host, Dolores Foster. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Jeffrey Guy.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everybody on this lovely, sunny Friday afternoon.
It sure is a nice day out there, and hopefully the rain, I don't know, do we want rain right now, Jeff, or do we not?
Heat. Bring on some heat.
Bring on the heat.
Put away the wind for a little bit. Let the sprayers catch up.
So we have a very special guest on our podcast today. We have Paul Sullivan from Sullivan Agro Incorporated. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks for having me again today.
Paul is a repeat special guest.
He sure is.
Back in the wintertime. One of our most listened to episodes ever.
That's right.
He's famous, you know.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad that you tracked that and told me. I guess that maybe the reason I'm back.
Yeah. You must have got that big commission check on that one.
So, Paul, spring planting is pretty much not completely done, but pretty much coming to a head here, and lots of guys are out in the spring. So, I guess, how did things go this spring? What are you seeing out there?
Right now, locally in eastern Ontario, the crops are in very good overall condition. There's still some crop to go in on some of the later ground, like less than ideal drain ground.
So did we get an early start to the year? Did the corn go in nice, good timing? Or
It went in very good timing because we really didn't get a window to start planting until the 1st of May, and there was a lot of corn bean cereals planted in that first week, and then into the second week, and then we got some rain, and then a lot of the balance was put in just in that time period after. So you know, if there's such a thing as an optimum date, it's May 10th for corn and beans. So majority of the crop went in that time period, not as many beans because there's only so much time to plant, and some of that weather time period was tricky, but the corn went in. Conditions through that time period were very good. They emerged, corn and beans and cereals.
Pretty uniform too. Like
very uniform, like probably one of the most uniform emergence springs that we've had for a long time. I'm not exactly sure what year it was, but I think it was maybe 2015. That year things went in about the same time and came up, and that year we had, like, you averaged it over the season, an inch of rain a week, which is, if you want to aim for moisture, like, and if you had irrigation, you'd put an inch of rain on if you didn't get it. So we had that in 2015, and so far, like, at our place, we've had, like, I think about 80 mils or 3 inches of rain through June. We had about 110 in May. So we're on that an inch a week time schedule here right now. Some places have had a bit less, which is fine this time of year. We don't really need a lot of moisture. And, you know, some people would like to have, you know, the next probably 2 weeks without moisture, which the crop could take right now. And it'll allow us to get some of the less drained fields in, plant some soybeans. Still lots of opportunity to plant soybeans, and the corn crop and the bean crop we're really at a stage now where they're not taking a lot of moisture, but the moisture is in the ground.
So there's still lots of opportunity to plant beans. And I do remember back when you were with us in the winter and you gave us some words of wisdom to plant beans early.
Yeah.
So, but now there's still lots of time to plant beans. So I'm confused. You need to explain things for me. So.
Well, soybeans are a very confusing crop. They were frustrating. They're a frustrating crop until you start to just step back and just kind of think of them as a crop that kind of does their own thing. There's key times to manage them. And Stephanie Nanny, who's agronomist with us that also has birds, she says a bird is either alive or dead. And I think it's the same thing with soybeans. Either it's alive or it's dead, one or the other. Like, and if it starts to grow, and it's there, usually it will come ahead. And it's interesting with soybeans. If you can get it out of the ground, which happened well this year, and longer time period from emerging at the cotyledon stage, where it's those two seed leaves, and then the next leaf is the unifoliate. The longer that time period to, like, June, when's the longest day or the shortest day? Or
I think it's the 21st or the 22nd, yeah, or something.
So yeah, if you can have many nodes on a plant, like if you have five or six nodes before it starts to flower, you know that you're having a lot of opportunity for those soybeans to really set up for places for flowers, pods, seeds to form. So that's the reason early planting really helps. Now, if you get into planting right now, and a good customer of mine always kind of gives me a hard time about saying plant beans early, because last 3 years, his best beans he's combined have been the last planted of the year. So again, that's kind of contrary, but he's right and I'm right, because those beans that are planted right now will also have similar kind of conditions. They will have day length conditions that are conducive for forming nodes. And Eric Richter, who really, really knowledgeable soybean fellow, used to be with NK in this area, he says you need 2 million nodes per acre. So if you have, this time of year we want to plant extra population because the beans are going to be shorter. So if you plant 210,000, you'll get per acre, and you have 10 nodes, then you've got your 2 million. Mm-hmm. If we plant soybeans the 1st of May, you'll likely have 16 or 17 nodes. So you obviously don't need as much population. But the later planted soybeans, they squish themselves together. So for every day later in planting, or 3 days later in planting, as it is, it's only 1 day later to harvest. So they just kind of squish themselves together. So they're very confusing, very challenging crop. Fellow at Ag Canada used to call them plastic. So they mold to the conditions. And so that's where, realistically, we have a planting time for soybeans over 2 months. And from our experience, you know, we have saw some really good yield bumps. Like in 2021, those April 28th to 30th beans, I'd say gained 8 bushels over beans planted after the 15th. So I'm confident we'll see potentially that advantage. But saying that, there's still lots of opportunity to plant soybeans.
Well, I know when I was planting the little bit of beans I was putting in, I was thought, oh, I'm not listening to Paul. I didn't plant them early enough. I hope I still get a crop. But it's glad you're telling me now that I'm glad you're telling me it still most likely will be okay. So did you see any swing in acres in crops this year from your customers? Any swing from corn to beans or back or forth?
No, not really. Like the way things went, for the most part, we saw the swing in acres we're seeing a bit now is hayfields going into soybeans. So that is a swing that's there. But
that's interesting, because I know, like, since the fertilizer prices have gone up, that's kind of been the big talk. Like, are guys going to pull out on corn and maybe grow more beans? But it's interesting that they've kind of stayed the course. There's not a huge fluctuation in the acres.
I don't see it. There's been a few customers that were a little bit gun shy about corn acreage, and especially for ground that maybe is a little bit wetter and not as
for sure
as sort of likely to be able to be planted early or handle some of the rain, and that maybe went back into beans. But there's a lot of corn out there, and mm-hmm. corn, you know, our corn crop right now looks very good.
Corn is king.
Yeah, it really is. Like, everybody is excited about corn, and I think everybody's excited right now the way the corn looks in Eastern Ontario, because it's at a stage where it's got phenomenal color to it and growth and uniformity this year. And mind you, we have a wheat field behind the house that I just go out in the morning and look at it, and it's like, you know, wheat isn't a bad crop either. But as far as I'm concerned, if it's a well-managed crop, even a good crop of Timothy hay, isn't a bad crop.
So as we look at the crops this year, do you see anything unique this year? Any unique weed pressures? I know I've had some non-farmer friends talk to me about they thought the soybeans were looking really weedy. They said, is there some reason why these fields are so weedy this year?
Yeah, a part of it is that we've only got so much sprayer capacity, and planting started the 1st of May, roughly. There was very little up, and then went for about 10 or 12 days without interruption. So we planted corn, then we planted soy. We were planting cereals, we were planting soybeans, and then the crop came up, but also the weeds came up. And we only have so much time to spray. And in most cases, you know, there's the we program to spray corn by the 3rd to 4th leaf stage. So we want to get the weeds out of the way by that time. And with soybeans, like, there's a lot of fields that are minimally worked or not worked at all. So the weed that is there comes ahead. And so some of those are tall weeds. Like, you could have some tall lamb's quarters or things like that that make the field look, or dandelions. Like, that's the other thing we have, is lots of dandelions and some minimal worked. And so those definitely, the observation was correct that the soybean fields have been dirtier. But soybeans aren't as sort of affected by that as corn early. It won't necessarily impact the soybeans.
Is there any new hot sprays out this year that people are switching over to? Things that are, you know, like, I remember when Callisto and Halix came out for the corn and things like that. It just seemed to take over a lot of acres. And
and the common spray in corn has been Halix, early post program. There's got to be a kind of a version of that with Acuron sprayed post, early post. And those products have all worked very well because the contact activity has knocked back the weeds, and now the residual has been activated by the moisture. So the weeds, corn, we have two fields on one farm where we're going to have to respray out of, and we've scouted about half the acres we look after right now. So it's phenomenal weed control. In the bean end of things, a lot more dicamba being used because there's so many dicamba beans out there, and it's helping to knock down those big weeds. So there.
So you said a little bit about scouting. You've scouted a lot of acres, and you said something unique to us before we started to record the podcast about more specifically about scouting soybeans. And just if you could maybe repeat that now, I found that very interesting.
Just about the stages of the soybeans?
Yeah, the soybean, you said looking at the root system.
Yes. So part of our process for scouting soybeans is we dig up the plant to see how deep it's planted. But we also look, like, sometimes we look for nodulation. We always figure nodules are going to be there after the first trifoliate. But one of our scouting procedures is to look at the straightness of the root. And if the root is crooked, it means that it's met some resistance in its growth. And a soybean root is much like a carrot. If you can have a carrot that goes down straight, then that's a much better carrot than if it kind of goes off on the side. So it just allows a base of a tap root on a soybean to send out feeder roots then to the bigger the root on soybeans. Like, soybean management is all about managing the root system to be able to support the plant. And so that's the reason we make an observation about the soybean root when we scout.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, very neat, very neat. So the side dressing going on for corn right now?
Yeah, right in the middle of side dressing, top dressing. And probably more nitrogen went on pre-plant this year than normal, just because we were uncertain about supply, and it was, you know, just a few things. But it's been a good year to hold back some nitrogen because we're finding very, very good nitrogen levels. The 2 weeks that we had there in early May warmed the soil up and got the bugs that cook out the soil nitrogen, got them working, and they've been working overtime. And in our applied nitrogen that we have put on, we've tested some fields that have had 75, 80 pounds of nitrogen up front, that if I didn't know that was all that was put on, the test has come back suggesting it wouldn't need any further nitrogen. So we still are putting nitrogen on, but we're not putting as much as we would have, and we still know we have the potential to not run that field out of nitrogen over the course of the season. So it's kind of a sort of scenario and helping to make sure that the nitrogen is recognized as coming from the soil.
That's pretty cool. It's interesting because in the middle of planting, you kind of feel like it's being dragged out, or at least that's how I felt this year, that planting was dragging out. But really, the conditions have been optimal for, corn, soybeans, and wheat. They all look really phenomenal around the country. Yeah, side,
that's so. The thing about the wheat now. Like we've used, as far as new products, you use, like up until this year, we made two recommendations for growth regulators in wheat, and that's been all. Like part of it wasn't available, but we put a bunch of growth regulator on winter wheat, and now we've done the same on spring wheat to shorten it up so that it doesn't lodge. And like it's, you know, you put it onto good field, so that's a sign that there's a lot of very good productive spring and winter wheat fields out there. So
That's a great sign of things to come for harvest for this year.
So far, so good. Yeah.
Knock on wood. Yeah. It's nice to be able to go out and enjoy the sight of your field instead of like not looking at it when you're driving by.
Yeah.
And it's even better where the prices are at. So that's really encouraging.
Definitely, for sure. For sure.
So we're going to hopefully welcome you back next week, Paul, or 2 weeks from now, week and a half from now at our customer day.
Sure. Yeah. Like that.
I'm sure Paul will be in attendance.
We'll have a little more in-depth discussion that day. And I don't know, is there any parting thoughts you want to leave us with? I know you did last time. So is there any parting thoughts this time on any steps farmers should be taking right now, like some magical foliar fertilizer or fungicide or just getting out in the fields and seeing what's happening?
That's exactly what I was going to say, Jeff. It's just get into the field and look and see things. And if there's something that you don't know, you know, check with your trusted advisor, your CCA agronomist. And you know, even if it's something that looks really good, like that's still something that is worth, you know, having a look-see and bring your neighbor if, you know, if something looks really good. If it's not, well, bring your agronomist in. It's always good to show off.
That's
what you have.
If yeah. it looks good,
great words of advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like
great
that one.
Well, thanks for coming out, Paul, and we'll be sure to get you back on this podcast again. You know, we got to keep our listenership numbers up, and we know you're a great boost for that. So,
well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. Thanks very much for the opportunity today.
I just love having special guests on the podcast, Jeff. What do you think?
Oh, Paul's really good. Like I said before, I think that was the most listeners we had when we have Paul on.
So. I think so. So, quickly, let's do a market update and get on to the weekend here.
Yeah, we had some more volatility in the market this week. Corn was up about $5 for the week here. Soybeans, very interesting. Old crop soybeans pulled back big time this week, over $25. New crop was flat. The wheat market, it basically pulled back some this week. So what happened in the markets this week? A lot of political talk this week. The political talk between Ukraine, Russia, are they going to allow any exports out of the Ukraine? One day yes, one day no.
So anything concrete or just speculation?
It seems to be all speculations, but there today the wheat market has pulled back big time. So maybe there's something a little more concrete in the news today. This corn and soybeans pulling back, we're into a long weekend in the U.S. They have their new Juneteenth holiday. Civic holiday in the U.S. on Monday, no trading day. So it's amazing they got an extra holiday and we didn't up here in Canada. Though we do have family day, so.
Oh, I think we should get another one. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, maybe we'll just take it off here anyways. Maybe the big kahuna will okay that for elevator staff. I don't know, but we'll have to get back in that another time. So anyhow, so the markets are closed on Monday. It's normal for in the growing season for crops to pull back a little bit before a long weekend. So that's kind of minor in corn and soybeans. Our dollar this week went down about 200 basis points. That's pretty major, and that's because of the, you know, inflation rates, interest rates jumping up in the U.S. They're jumping up quicker than they're jumping up in Canada. That's making the U.S. dollar a little stronger around the world. Crude oil was very interesting this week. It's down over $10 a barrel. And I'm sure we'll see a decrease in prices at the...
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, doubtful at best in that one. But it's crude oil is down this week and no real reason for it to be down. You know, it's, if anything, it should have been up because Russia cut off, or yesterday said they were cutting off Germany and that with crude oil. So who knows? So not a lot happening this week, much the same as previous weeks. Corn did bounce back here at the 50-day average, which was pretty positive on the corn market. And I'm sure we'll continue to see some volatility until
the report at the end of the month.
Well, the report at the end of the month. But there's a bigger day before that day. What's that big day?
I think we talked about it with Paul. It's Customer Day.
Customer Day, Wednesday, June the 29th. Come one, come all.
We're looking forward to seeing everyone, and I think that's it for us today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope everyone has a great weekend.
Talk to everybody again next week. Thanks for now.